For those of you who don't get to a Sunday evening, and for those of you who refuse to come to a Sunday evening meeting just because you live in New Zealand, then, which I think is a bit of a lack of commitment, personally. How long would it take you? Friday night you could set out, you could get to the Sunday evening meeting and be back for Tuesday. So, I don't see that problem, Irene. No, Irene agrees with me. I like a lady who agrees with me. No, I can't see the problem either. David, I can see the problem with this remote control. Father, I'm going to sin unless this remote control starts working. It worked all day this afternoon. Try it now. Yes. This is what we have done up to now, and then we're going to finish this off. The New Testament comes from the Latin word testamentum, which we know it's a binding agreement between two parties. And we know in the New Testament the covenant is through the holiness of God through the Son. Hallelujah. Next one, David. Seems to have gone again. We are finishing the period of inception, and then we will start the period of expansion, and then the period of consolidation. So we'll start with the book of Acts the next time we come. But we're going to finish from 6 BC to 29 AD. And when we looked at that, we saw that the inception was the beginning of the New Testament and covered the life of our Savior. Without our Savior, there is no New Testament. Without our Savior, there is nothing. And there's where the books that we have looked at. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first period deals primarily with the life of Christ. And that's how Christ generally taught people. You should have these notes. If you haven't, I can make them available. I'm not going into this, but it's nice now because we're finishing tonight just to go through what we have learned in the New Testament. Right. Could we go back one, please? Matthew chapter 1, you should now know that Matthew speaks of Jesus Christ as a King. The whole of Matthew wants you to know Jesus Christ is a king. He is the king of the Jews. And Matthew will absolutely get through to his Jewish audience, the one who you crucified is the king of the kings. Not will be, he is the king of the Jews. And he will rule one day in a coming day. Matthew, though, gives us some great divisions from that time forth, and that's the key, from that time forth, and we saw how those divisions came, and that's the golden passages of Matthew, and you've heard some great sermons from Mary, Eunice, and Dave on those things. Mark doesn't want you to know he's a king, he wants you to know that Jesus Christ came to serve us. How wonderful. Now I want you to think about it. This is the greatest person in the whole of the universe. This is the one who just said, let there be light, and there was. And then he said, one day I'm going to go down and I'm going to be a servant to human beings. I tell you what, that is humility at its best. And Mark wants the people that he's talking to, I believe it's a Greek audience mostly, that listen, Jesus Christ came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Hallelujah. And Mark tells you all about the servanthood of Jesus. And there we had Mark. That word is used 42 times, and we went through that at some length. But Jesus was on an unseen goal as far as the disciples was concerned. Thank God, Jesus always knew his goal. His goal was Calvary. Isn't it great to know that Jesus never flinched from going to Calvary? You and I are the beneficiaries. Again, you heard lots of good stuff from this, and I'm not going to repeat it. Luke sees Christ as a great man, and he was the most compassionate man you'll ever meet. You'll never meet a man like Jesus. He was a man's man. He was a woman's man. He was the perfect man. That was great when we went through that. And the Holy Spirit is most prominent in the book of Luke. 43 times the word is mentioned. He had much to say about women. He had the human touch. And again, we went through, I believe Mary spoke on I think Mary did speak on that one. John, Well, he doesn't want you to know Jesus as a king. He doesn't want you to know Jesus as a servant. He didn't really want you to know that Jesus was a great man. He wanted you to know that Jesus is the Son of God. In the beginning. That's why John starts off with his wonderful phrases. I think we all know it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. In other words, this man I'm going to tell you about, he ain't no man. Although he has come as a son of man, I want to let my readers know, this man had no beginning. He has no end, because he is quite simply the Son of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus came that you might have revelation. And that's why we pray before the Word. I want you to have revelation tonight. Because revelation should bring a reaction. And that reaction should bring a result. That's all John wrote the gospel for. That there might you might know what the great God is who came on earth. And knowing that great God, you might have a reaction. And that reaction hopefully is positive. And the result is that you will know and trust Him as your personal Savior. 92% of John does not occur in other Gospels. 90, that's a lot of, isn't it? 92%. Again, there's notes and the CDs are available for all of these sermons. So let's go. We've done that. Then we looked at the word synoptic. And we know what synoptic meant. It means seeing together three people, Matthew, Mark and Luke, presents roughly the same Gospel. In other words, those three saw things basically the same way, apart from John, and we've just said John 92% is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John. So when you hear the word synoptic gospels, he's talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So we're not getting ourselves too hooked on that. And then we came to the greatest, the work of Jesus Christ. And we have looked at salvation. We've looked there at reconciliation. We've looked at justification. We've looked at redemption. Amen. Tonight we look at atonement. Anybody can find their Bibles and read Romans chapter 3 verses 24 to 25. Let us read this. This is a fantastic thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ has made an atonement for our sin. Hallelujah. Someone shout, Amen. I'm so glad that my Father in heaven sent Jesus to make an atonement for my sin. Romans 3, if anyone has it, Romans 3. So many, Ava looked out of our window yesterday afternoon and she knew straight away it was Jehovah's Witnesses, 2x2. And they keep missing my house. And they keep going past it for some reason. I have had some conversations with them. Why do I mention this? Because it's so sad that they are trying to work their poor socks off to heaven when God has sent an atonement for them. I tell you what, we need to feel sorry for them. I really do. I would love the Holy Spirit to go into every Jehovah's Witnesses church and just give them some enlightenment. Because I tell you what, there are people whose hearts for God are real. And they will have no shame in telling you who they are. They can't say with Paul they are not ashamed of the gospel. The trouble is the gospel that they're not ashamed of, and sadly is the wrong gospel. But they're not ashamed of it. I tell you something. Why are we ashamed of the greatest gospel that was ever given to humankind? The good news that your Savior went to Calvary for you and He atoned for your sin. I believe the more this age goes on, the more we may have to stand up for Christ. And I'll tell you something, there may come a time, I believe, when we will have to wear a cross around our necks. That will be great, not for religious symbolic symbol, but like I said this morning, to let people know what we stand for. The cross to me is still the greatest foundation that we will ever have. Without the cross, we were nothing. Nothing. Our Savior bled and died upon a tree that you and I might have life and might have it to its full. The word atone means to make amends for a wrongdoing or for an injury to someone. And that person then becomes reconciled. Becomes reconciled. The Greek word surrendered is spelt like this, A-P-O-L-U-T-R-O-S-I-S, apolosis. It's a word which occurs 9 times in Scripture, and it always has the same idea, someone paying a ransom. I want to tell you, my friend, something had been lost, and that was our relationship with God. Jesus Christ paid that ransom with His precious blood. It's the idea of paying a price. Someone had to make amends for our wrongdoing. We had injured God. And someone had to make us reconciled with God. Someone had to make peace with that person. Isn't it great to know that you have peace with God? I tell you something. This man is not ordinary man. This is God we're talking about. This is the one who created the vast universe, put its stars in its space. You have peace with God tonight. You may not have peace with your next door neighbor, but you have peace with God tonight. Because somebody took time to put an injury right that you and I had caused. Christ's sacrifice of the atonement satisfies the demands that God's righteous nature demanded. And that is why when you stand in front of God one day, God will have to turn around to those who have rejected Him simply because they refuse to get put right with God. You see, Jesus died primarily to satisfy God, not to satisfy you. I want you to make that quite clear. God had to be satisfied. That's called propitiation. And when God was satisfied, then you and I could be satisfied. Because if Jesus had never pleased God and God had never accepted the sacrifice, how on earth could we have been saved? That's why God in Psalm 22 prophetically turned His face away against His own Son. And the darkness of that night must have hurt Jesus so much. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Don't forget, this is two people who had a relationship from time began. Think about it. Before there was space, before there was anything here, there was a relationship. All through the book of John, He cried out, Jesus, I and My Father are. And suddenly in 3 dark hours, God turned away from His Son and allowed the whole of wrath to be poured upon Him. Just to satisfy. You have been satisfied tonight because God has been satisfied. I think sometimes we take our salvation just a little bit too flippant. And I keep mentioning this, and I refuse not to mention it. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. And we need to realize and understand exactly who saved us, why we were saved. And that's why the hymn writer put it so beautifully, when we've been there 10,000 years. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's about Him saying, okay, Jesus, I'm satisfied with Your death. I will raise You back up again. The atonement has been paid. And I in Belgium can now enter into My presence because I am now satisfied with the work of Jesus. I sometimes could cry when you read that. See, I'm satisfied. And I'm now able to walk into the presence of a holy God. Christ's sacrifice of atonement satisfies the demands of a righteous God. If you turn to Leviticus chapter 16, you'll find the Day of Atonement, the first time the Day of Atonement. If you want the counterpart, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. But this is what it says in Leviticus 16. And he shall, verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the people, the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell upon him, and it will be for a sin offering. Verse 10, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Hallelujah. The scapegoat did not die. No. Completion had been taken place, and so the scapegoat was able to go back into the wilderness, out and back into freedom, because the other goat paid the price. Jesus paid the price that I might go back and live for him. Not that I might go back and please myself, but that I might go back and live for him. And Aaron shall bring the bullock, and so it goes on to make an atonement. But I want to tell you something. The Day of Atonement was a day in which the whole of the children of Israel had to come. Is a day of reckoning, my friend. There's a day of reckoning when everyone will stand in front of God, male and female. And that goat went in. And as soon as that goat had been satisfied by God, the other goat was allowed to go free. And the people knew their sins had been forgiven. Friend, do you know your sins have been forgiven? Do you know there's someone who has gone to Calvary? And you are the blessed one who's been allowed to go free. That's why if the Son sets you free, you are. So the idea of the atonement is a propitiation. In other words, turning away God's wrath. And that's why I keep telling you, God's not angry with us. God loves us. He's not angry with us. He gets upset with us when we miss and go our own way. He gets upset with us. But I keep telling you, God would rather have you messed up as not have you at all. Stop running away from God. Keep running to God. You see, there's never a time that you cannot run to God. There's never a time a sinner can't run to God. And thank God, the difference between my Savior and the day the priest came is my Savior no longer has to yearly go before the throne of grace. After he once made a sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. It's a finished work, brothers and sisters. It's complete. I love the idea of atonement. That somebody else took my injury. I hurt God so much, and yet somebody else paid the price. I want you to really think for a minute, because I'm going to pause for a few seconds. I want you to seriously think of all the stuff that you've ever done in your life. And God is not holding you responsible, because what he did is he passed all that stuff onto his own beloved Son. I want you to think about it for a moment. All the garbage you've ever done. Not to keep you down, but to show you just what your life has been like. And yet God holds you not guilty. Would you take a few seconds just to think about your life? Finishing just now. I know what I've said to you tonight is probably so basic to you. But I don't apologize. I think sometimes we need to go back to what the cross really means. Jesus Christ came down in BC 6 to go to a cross. He had no other agenda. And we need to realize this. We need to realize that God had no other agenda for his Son but the cross. And all the miracles that he did were a byproduct. One agenda. To save man that would spat in his face, that would turn away. And he allowed him to do that because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And he would rather have you just as you are. What a Savior. What a Savior we serve. Run to him, friends. Don't run away from him. I don't care where you are at this present time in your life. He wants you to run to him. Because of this, I wonder if someone could find Romans 8, 15 and 16 as we finish. The reason God loves us so much, the reason the Day of Atonement came, was so that you could be adopted. Isn't it grace to be adopted? Someone once said, Mommy, I didn't come from your tummy, did I? And our mother turned round and said, no, you didn't. You came from my heart. You came from my heart. You were special. I picked you. You came from my heart. And that little girl was adopted. But what a beautiful illustration, isn't it? No, she didn't come from mommy's tummy. But she came from mommy's heart. You were special. And I picked you. And brought you into my family. I can't think of a more better picture than that of Jesus, can you? Jesus turned round and said to Jackie, I picked you because you're special. I picked you from my heart. From my heart. Oh, we've got the heart of God, brothers and sisters. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. Friend, the more I look at this cross and the redemptive work of Jesus, the more I think we could spend a lifetime dwelling into what this lovely message means. I'm adopted because of the atonement work of Jesus Christ. What does adoption mean? We are brought into God's family. The Greek term for adoption. Did someone find Romans 8, 15? Could someone read? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, cry tonight. Abba. Say Abba Father tonight if you know Jesus. Abba Father. I'm adopted. Does Romans 8:23 mean anything? If it does, shout it out. If it doesn't, pass on. Romans 8:23, anyone?
Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, learn inwardly to wait even for our adoption of sons.
Amen. We wait eagerly for that day coming. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us, and I talked about predestination just a minute ago, God's anger being put right and that atonement. Having predestinated us unto adoption. Unto adoption. It's that Greek word, husrosis. It's spelled H-U-I-O-T-H-E-S-I-A. It's a wonderful Greek word which means to have been adopted into someone's family. And it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't it a lovely verse? The good pleasure. He didn't say, oh, okay, I brought you back, you lot. He said, to the good pleasure of his will. He's excited. Jesus is excited that you're in his family. Smile, please. Jesus does love you. Come on. Smile. Jesus loves you. I know there's a badge, but we need to grasp that. Jesus does love us. Jesus is dancing for joy. Jesus is happy. He wouldn't have put his son Jesus Christ through what we've talked about tonight just for nothing. It said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. We've talked about that atonement. By the adoption of Jesus Christ to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, I tell you something, we could go on. The word used in the New Testament to express the thoughts of sonship in relation to God, or huos, which is what I've just said, tekon, expresses the thoughts of sonship. It was used on several occasions with reference to Christ. And on two occasions, this same word is used with reference to David. Luke 1:6-9 and Acts 4:25. I want to tell you something. We are accepted as sons with full rights and privileges. Why do we expect to get nothing from God when we are accepted as sons with full rights and privileges? If you belong to your family, you have no hesitation on rights or privileges. And yet when it comes to God, somehow we feel so inferior, do we sometimes? We just feel that, oh, God won't bless me. He'll bless her, but he won't bless me. God sits down from his throne and says, well, where do you find that in Scripture? Are you adopted into my family? Yes, I am. Then you have all the rights and privileges that come with adoption. Not everything we want, but we have the rights to come into the holies of holies because of him who loved us and washed us from sin. I hope the work of Christ has meant something to you in these last few months. I hope salvation means something to you now. I hope you understand what justification means. I hope you understand what reconciliation means, what redemption means, what atonement means, as we've discussed tonight, and what adoption means. That's what Jesus came to give you. The CDs are available, but we really do need to understand the work of Jesus Christ. And having fully understood what he went through and what he has given us, it should encourage us to live a life for his glory. It should appreciate us him even more. And thank you should be a word that should be expressed daily when we think of what he has done for us. And one day he's coming back for us. And that adoption process will be finally finished. We shall see him as he is. And we shall be with him forever and ever and ever. What a glorious thought. What a glorious hope. Because I deserve it? No. Because of his good pleasure and of his good will. That's what keeps me going. His good pleasure and his good will. I am so glad that my Father in heaven, let's say it, tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. But this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Bless you. May you be blessed and encouraged with the work of Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.